Your recording has started. You may now proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the BC members call on the 28th of September, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Thank you. Hearing no further names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Andrew Mack. Sir, you may begin.
Great. Thank you very much, Andrew, and welcome to the BC team on behalf of the entire BC membership. We appreciate your being here. I know that we've got a very, very busy calendar, and so I'm going to be brief. It seems a sad thing to be talking about the disaster of the week, but I just wanted to say on behalf of the BC that our hearts go out to all of the members of the community who have been affected by the most recent hurricanes, especially Hurricane Maria, which is affecting San Juan and Puerto Rico more broadly. We were just on a call this morning, and they're talking about how to proceed forward with that. So we'll keep you apprised as to what or if any changes are under discussion. At this point, we're still trying to wait and see, but on behalf of the BC, our hearts really go out to everyone who's been affected by the different storms. Steve, I know we've got a big, busy policy calendar. You want to pick it up?
Thanks, Andrew. Steve Del Bianco here, and Andrea is putting up the policy calendar. I sent an updated one yesterday afternoon. The only item I need to cover under Channel 1 is to thank Wauto, Stephanie, Margie, Marie, Chris, Marilyn, and Denise for all the help at pulling together a BC comment on the DNS abuse statistical study. This comment process is, I think, a proud moment for the BC. We started with a certain kind of a tone to it. Certain BC members pulled it in a slightly different direction. It then came back a little closer to the center. And I think what we ended up with is cohesive. It makes sense. And I hope that the CCTRT can take advantage of some of the things we pointed out when they come up with their recommendations, because it's so much more important for us to affect the recommendations of CCTRT rather than just have to react to them in the public comment period. Thanks to all for helping to pull that together. Let me skip over the GDPR letter to Joran and handle that in the GDPR section that's a little later in the agenda, and jump to the currently open public comment periods. The currently open public comments have one that I want to pay particular attention to. It's number two, which is the proposed renewal of the DOT Museum sponsored registry agreement. We've discussed this on the past two BC calls, thinking that we would use a similar comment on this. I would say picking up on what we did for the DOT MOBI renewal earlier this year, that was in February. So Phil Corwin and I took a look at the DOT MOBI renewal. Phil suggested some excellent text, taking issue with this transition from a sponsored TLD to a community TLD, using criteria that would probably never survive if it had applied as a community applicant for community status. And that is, in particular, that any user of a museum is considered part of the community and can register a domain name. And it's not clear at all whether there would be any verification of who is a user. Of course, it wouldn't take much to verify that I've ever used a museum. And without taking issues to what that would do to the DOT Museum space, we're mostly speaking to the inconsistency between community designation for new GTLD applicants and the fact that the Global Domains Division, or GDD, can negotiate completely different criteria to achieve community status for somebody like DOT Museum. The second element in our draft comment is to suggest that GDD should not use these renewals as an opportunity to impose policies and requirements on a registry that were not the subject of GNSO policy development. You've heard this story before. that while we support the Uniform Rapid Suspension, or URS, as a rights protection mechanism, we don't support that staff impose it in a registry negotiation because it hasn't yet been the subject of GSO policy development. So I've summarized the main two objections that are in the draft comment that was attached to yesterday's policy calendar. It was attachment number 2. And Phil Corwin and I will continue to refine that in the days ahead. But this comment is due on the 3rd of October. That's next Tuesday. So this is the opportunity for BC members to ask Chris, Phil and I any questions with respect to the comment. So please raise your hand if you have questions, and Phil, I'll turn to you if you want to add any color to what I just explained. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Steve. And Phil, for the record, just briefly, we're all familiar with the URS issue, so I'm not going to get into that. But on this community, I think the point we want to make is, and I'll be sending Steve a revised draft later today to be shared with BC members, is that whatever the definition of community of a community GTLD is, it should be consistent for whatever purpose it's being applied for. But and here there's a great inconsistency. We know that there's a very high bar to in the CPE review process to establish a claim of being a community GTLD for application purposes because of the benefits it brings. And no one who proposed, for example, if Dot Music had proposed, and that's still contentious, that anyone who enjoyed music could register a domain, that would never pass CPE, but that's essentially what they proposed for Dot Museum. And then you've got the inconsistency that for community domains that have passed muster, and the one we know about because they recently presented to council, the head of the FTLD domain registry, which operates .bank and .insurance, they're seeking a very modest expansion of their of eligible entities that can register from banks and insurance companies to bank holding companies, which are clearly very closely related to the original purpose, and have been told that ICANN has to create a community evaluation procedure to even have that considered. But here, again, through registry renewal negotiations, they're proposing a very vast expansion in who can register .museum domains without any equivalent community evaluation process. So I think we just want to tell GDD, you know, create a consistent process for defining a community TLD, no matter what context that issue arises in. And that's not what we're seeing right now. I'll stop there. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Phil. Consistency is the key word there. Phil and I still need to go through that comment draft and perhaps pull out anything related to pricing and pull out any references that are leftovers from the .mobi comment. And Phil and I will work on that. But meanwhile, please, members of the BC, take a look at the draft. If you have anything you want to add to the Dot Museum comment, particularly on the point of consistency, please reply all. And Phil and I will try to get it into ship shape, send out a last call probably on Sunday or Monday. All right, let me move to the next item. There are proposed changes to the Non-Commercial Users Constituency, or NCUC, charter. We don't often comment on charter changes proposed by other GNSO constituencies. But in this case, we had John Berard, Marilyn Cade, and Tola, who came up with a brief and pointed set of comments, and Andy Abrams provided some edits that were already accepted by the drafters. This is attachment 3 to the policy calendar that I circulated yesterday. This comment is closing as well on October the 3rd. It's been circulated for the BC review for the required period of time. So we'll submit it on October the 3rd. If there are any BC members who have questions or comments on it today. All right, seeing none, we will proceed with submitting that comment on October the 3rd. Let me turn next to the General Data Protection Regulations of the European Commission, called the GDPR, and reconciling that with WHOIS. So if you scroll in your policy calendar, to page 2. It's at the top of page 2 in the policy calendar. There are two elements of this. The first is this notion of the task force that management, ICANN management, created to try to convince European data protection authorities that they should grant a public interest exemption for the use of WHOIS. That was sort of their going-in plan. In addition, a task force that was created to document all of the legitimate uses of WHOIS, call them use cases or user stories, and those would presumably lead to a conclusion that legitimate uses should not require informed consent. And then maybe there ought to be a plan C in the strategy. Denise Michel led an effort that Stephanie assisted with, where we sent at the end of August a letter to ICANN's chairman and CEO suggesting a new approach and also asking for transparency about what ICANN's strategy is, plan A, plan B, and plan C. Joran replied to our letter just the other day, and I've circulated it as an attachment. It's attachment number 1 to the policy calendar today. And the letter itself says scarcely anything more than the blog post that Akram and Teresa put up about a week and a half ago, and it doesn't respond to our requests for a disclosure, a discussion of ICANN's strategy and the backup plan. I did call Becky Burr to probe this a little more deeply, and what Becky said is somewhat enlightening. We honestly can't expect a public discussion of every element of the strategy of pursuing this. I push back a bit on that to say that it's the community that has to suggest what the successive series of steps ought to be sure that WHOIS can survive the GDPR implementation in May. So Becky Burr, who's on the board and represents GNSO, is agreed to release and to pressure ICANN to release as much as they can about what they've been saying. To that end, ICANN had published the letters they've been sending to the EU data protection authorities. I have a link to that at the tail end of this section on GDPR and WHOIS. But it does not yet satisfy the BC's request of allowing the community to participate. Hey, thanks for someone who just muted whatever that was. So turning next to the ICANN 60 panel on GDPR, we are confronted with an opportunity here because we were among those who wanted to have a high-interest topic, a cross-community panel at ICANN 60 on GDPR, reconciliation with WHOIS. It's on the calendar. It was accepted. It's on Friday, the 2nd of November. Now, we were among the groups that asked for it. We're not the only one, but we have tried to assert the leadership role in helping to plan it. Attachment 4 to the policy calendar was an email that I sent to ICANN staff indicating some ideas for how to structure this panel and the kind of panelists that we'd want to have. I think that Marie and Barbara Warner and others have responded with other ideas for panelists. Some think we ought to have more panelists. Some believe we should have fewer panelists. I'm beginning to realize we won't have much control over that, since there are multiple groups who are going to want to participate. And not anybody that I don't really believe we are going to be able to convince too many people who are not already planning to come to ICANN 60 to make the trip all the way to Abu Dhabi for an hour and a half long panel. So I believe we want to tap people that are already designated to be present at ICANN 60. And the question is, what do we hope to get out of this panel discussion? Judging by the BC letter that we all approved, the one we sent to management, what we seek most of all is to have the community do a bottom-up information to ICANN about the strategies they should pursue. So what I'll lay out there is that we're likely to pursue a public interest exemption. If that doesn't work, a legitimate use qualification. And if that doesn't work, begin to explore the way that informed consent of the registrant is part of what they put in when they register or renew a domain name. And when they register for privacy and proxy services, there needs to be informed consent there that the privacy proxy can relay and reveal when the legitimate user has actionable harm. So I'm happy to entertain a cue on what the BC ought to be doing in reaction to the GDPR and who is, and specifically how to structure this panel to the extent that we have influence at ICANN 60. So we'll take that cue. And Jay Sadowski put into the chat that I heard in another call that it wasn't set up by ICANN. Well, I don't agree, Jay. The BC itself was among those three groups who asked for this panel, and ICANN ranked it highly because multiple groups had asked for it. At this point, multiple groups are jockeying for position to control the agenda, to designate the moderator, and to set panelists. And that natural competition will result in ICANN staff kind of refereeing the situation. I don't think any one group is going to control this panel. Let's do our best to get a panelist. We've already talked about having Susan represent us on that. Let's do our best to get a panelist. I would love to have the opportunity to moderate, but I have no idea whether that will survive. But it's going to be a large panel that's broadly representative. Margie.
Thanks, Steve. This is Margie. I think one of the themes that needs to be shared on the panel is taking a look, and this comes from the BC letter, holistically at the WHO IS system and how it fits in in its entirety to the GDPR framework. You know, each of the approaches you've suggested are very narrow aspects of the GDPR, but for someone to lay out, you know, how WHO IS in the public interest is important for security and stability of the Internet. There's competing values, you know, and stakeholders here that need to be represented. It's putting the system in, in the framework of the GDPR and pointing out that we need to look at it to see how it's compatible with the GDPR as opposed to incompatible. And I think that was a good theme that was in the letter that somehow needs to be shared in that panel.
Margie, that's precisely what ICANN is trying to do. They're saying that it is compatible and it's within the public interest. And if it's not within the public interest exemption, it ought to be a legitimate use. So the compatibility has been their tone all along. That's not new. And with respect to the context, broader context of a balance of values, we've made that point in our letter, and I don't believe it was explicitly acknowledged because it's not at all clear what that would mean. Would that mean we'd invite different panelists that would give that broader context? Does it mean that we would start with some introduction if we could influence the moderator? I guess I need more specific action items on the broader context point, whether that involves different people or different points that need to be made. Do you have anything back on that before we go to Denise? Go ahead, Denise.
Thank you, Steve. Can you hear me okay? I'm on a bus.
We do hear you.
Great. Regarding your last comment, I take exception to the statement that staff is trying to advocate for a public interest exemption. We actually don't know that. We don't know what staff is advocating. We know that staff has only partial understanding of how WHO IS is used and what all the elements are. We don't understand what staff's conversations have been to date with privacy regulators, data regulators in the European Union and elsewhere. We have very little information about what staff's understanding is, what their strategy is, and what their actual activities are. And jumping back to the previous item that you raised, I don't think that the BC and other constituencies, for that matter, should be accepting of what amounts to a non-response to a letter to the board of directors and the CEO of ICANN. I think this is an important inflection point. ICANN is either going to be bottom-up and driven by the constituencies and community of ICANN, or it's going to see the decision and authority-making pretty much across the board to the CEO. So I would suggest that the leadership of the BC and, frankly, the other constituencies who have also received a non-answer from the CEO on GDPR in particular, that includes the chair of the GAC, contact Gorin directly and have a more pointed discussion on this. I think the stakes are too high for so many members of the ICANN community. I feel like we need to be in greater action on this, and the panel is useful to surface discussions, but the real work is occurring elsewhere, and we do not have a seat at the table. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Denise. I put into the policy calendar and into the chat, I realize you're on a bus and can't see it, one of the several letters that staff prepared to send to the European DPAs 2 weeks ago. And in there, they lay out their strategy to try to, I think, convince the European Data Protection Authorities that WHOIS is already legitimate. Whether their arguments are adequate or whether the arguments are the ones we would have made is something we can always debate. But it certainly seems as if staff has been trying to do that. And there's not a lot of transparency. We're not seeing the internal emails. We're obviously not on the conference calls that are held between ICANN Legal and DPAs, but at least we have several letters that were sent to the European governments that are participants in the EU data protection authorities. So I refer you to that link, and let's see if we can come up with something on that. Denise's second suggestion was that we pursue a discussion with Gorin on the particular part of our letter that they chose not to respond to. And that part of the letter was bullet item 2, which said, we want to understand the strategy and backup plan at making sure that WHOIS stays reconciled with GDPR. They didn't answer that at all. And Becky Burr told me that a lot of that is conversations and emails that they don't want to publicly put in writing. Well, fine, let's follow Denise's lead and have Andrew reach out to Joran and Teresa and Akram and ask for a telephone call, an undocumented, untranscribed, if it has to be, a telephone call with the BC to understand how the strategy and backup. In other words, to respond to our letter on point number 2. We can attempt to do that, Andrew, by having you do an email back to Joran and the team indicating that we appreciated their response, but we will look forward to a conversation, a phone call, immediately to discuss the non-responded aspects of our letter. How does that sound to folks? Denise, I am trying to take advantage of the fact that we wrote the letter. We did not get anybody else to support the letter, but we wrote the letter. They responded, and this is a great opportunity for us to ask them for a phone call, and we'd invite the entire BC to be on the call with Joran. I have a feeling he would take that bait. Andrew Mack?
Steve, yes, thanks. And Denise, thanks for your comments. I think everybody agrees that this is a big issue. I like the idea of offering him the chance to speak with us if you think he'll take it. My question is, can we get close to something that we would consider to be a successful outcome from that call? Because the only concern that I would have is that if he is kind and diplomatic and says, I hear you, and still is not necessarily willing to share or doesn't yet have a clear sense of what plan B is, I'd love to know everybody's thoughts on what success looks like for that call. Thank you.
Andrew, we'll turn to Susan next, but keep this in mind that the point of the letter that I asked you to have the call about was we asked them, and I put this in the chat, we asked them to explain their goals and a specific strategy and describe any backup plans. So the outcome of a call is to get an answer to those questions. That doesn't mean the outcome of the call is that we've solved the GDPR problems. The outcome is for the staff to openly discuss the strategy and backup plan that they're pursuing. That's about as far as it goes. And Susan, we'll turn to you next, but I did want to indicate that Andrew has forwarded to everyone an invitation to a webinar next week on GDPR and WHOIS. So I would encourage all BC members who have any interest in this topic to get onto that call. It doesn't look, Andrew, as if there's an RSVP required. You can simply log into the Adobe and get into the webinar. Go ahead, Susan.
Thanks, Steve. Susan Calgucci for the record. I would like to, one of the questions I would ask, and I'm not sure this was approached in the, in a part, a point in the letter, but was what has the interaction been with the contracted parties? Because I'm getting the feeling from other things from the RDS working group and the, and a little bit on the RDS review team that there is interaction there, and it could just be my paranoia, but I would like, you know, to see if we could get him to answer that question. The other point I wanted to reinforce was in, and I don't know what email thread it was on, but there was an email thread concerning this topic and, you know, in the BC. So it may have been the one that you started, Steve, but, and I think maybe Denise made this point, was that this is starting to feel like Diana transition when we were all told, okay, this is how it's going to work, and we are choosing, you know, ICANN staff will choose this and do that, and the whole community came together and said, no, this is a community process. Stop, back up, and let's have transparency and participation. So I don't know that we could get the registrars and registries to join with us, but if we could at least get the CSG to start with, to join with, so maybe adding them to the call would be a good idea.
Yeah, keep in mind that the time it would take us to organize a call, it is far more likely that we all ought to be on the October 4th call. I put the coordinates into the chat, and Andrew Mack circulated that email earlier this morning. So all of us should be on that call. And since it's a webinar, I don't really know for sure whether that will be open to voice interventions, but we certainly can put questions in advance, such as, why haven't you answered our question about strategy and backup? You can be confident there will be some contract parties on that call on October the 4th. If we come out of the October the 4th call with still receiving no answers, I believe we should pursue a private call immediately after that. Any further thoughts on this? Okay, Susan, are you able to join the October 4th call? Does that fit with your schedule?
Yes, I'll be in Brussels for the review team meeting, but I'll take the time. Well, the review team meeting will be over by that point, so yes, I will be on.
Excellent. Denise, it would be excellent if you could be on that call as well. All right, turning to the next item, it's contractual compliance and consumer safeguards. As we discussed on our last call, they have a new director of consumer safeguards. It's Brian Schilling, and he's trying to explore consumer safeguards in a broader sense. He's going to present at ICANN 60 on existing safeguards with ICANN's contracts and bylaws. I was unable to attend his 25th of September webinar. Any members of the BC, were you any members of the BC able to attend Brian's webinar? It doesn't look like it, so.
Yeah, Steve, this is Barbara. I was on the webinar. I'm sorry, I'm sort of fumbling here with the chat. I would say that Brian walked us through a PowerPoint. I'm happy to provide people with links to the compliance, his website. He said he would post his slides on the webpage. I haven't found it yet. But my big takeaway from that is Brian kept underscoring that his personal role was, it didn't have to do with enforcement. It mainly had to do with considering issues surrounding compliance. And as I'm scrambling here, of course, I can't find my notes from that call, my raw notes from that call. But I'm happy to jot down a few of those raw notes and forward it to the BC private list.
That's a great idea, Barbara. Barbara, thank you. Please do that. It would be much appreciated. In particular, did he address the gaps within ICANN's capabilities to address abuse? And I have a feeling when they talk about gaps, he's happy to say that go to the FTC or go to somebody else. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay. No, I found my notes. Good news. No, it was really, I mean, as you can imagine, it was heavily attended. I think I was the only BC person on the call, very heavily attended by members of the IP community and IP advocates in the NCUC. But there was considerable discussion about the domain abuse activity reporting system. Audit process to ensure that all aspects of the agreement are being implemented.
Is there an attempt to escape?
I'm sorry. Yeah, there was no discussion of gaps. Again, going back to Brian's point, I'm reading from my notes. The consumer safeguards, not enforcement posts, really just to facilitate discussion of the community concerns regarding the DNS and conduct research for fact-based policymaking to answer and address questions from the community about compliance issues. Those are from my notes. And that's about all I have that may be of help to folks on today's call.
Thank you, Barbara. It strikes me that this office is not going to be very muscular or capable of making a difference. It strikes me as maybe it's a lot of window dressing as opposed to action. Okay, thank you. Let's move on to the next item, which is council, channel two. So Susan and Phil, what I put into the policy calendar was the resolutions that you approved on council on the 20th September, and I don't have any agendas for the upcoming council meeting since that hasn't been published yet. I'll turn it over to you, Susan and Phil.
On my part, nothing more to report than what you have laid out here in the in policy calendar. Phil, is there something?
Well, just quickly, and thanks, Susan. We had a robust discussion in council on the data request, and there was some slight amendment of the motion to make sure that depending on what financial resources we get from ICANN for professional survey assistance, that we'll focus on those areas which are most promising for delivering useful data. So we are the test working group for this new data-based policy development. And the other thing I wanted to mention that's not on your list, Steve, is that we have while we don't have an agenda for Abu Dhabi, we do know that there's going to be that James Waddell is stepping down. His term limited. He'll no longer be chair. We have a nomination process where the houses are required to submit their nominees by October 2nd, which is just days away. And right now, the only nominee from the non-contracted party house is Heather Forrest from the IPC, the current vice chair. So I don't know if there's been any CSG discussions on this. I certainly have no problem backing Heather, but more importantly, I don't know if there's been any communications between the CSG and the NCSG to ascertain whether she will have their backing or whether we'll have another unpleasant episode as we had 2 years ago they did not support the NCPH nominee and the NCPH defeated James for at least a month by voting to abstain because of the consternation over that situation. So I'll stop there, but I just wanted to – that's a pretty important issue that he's going to chair council going forward after Abu Dhabi.
So it's Steve. I would ask you and Susan, since you work with Heather and have for years, whether you personally believe that she deserves the support of the business constituency. Before we even get to the CSG part, do you and Susan believe Heather is a good candidate?
Steve, I do. I think she's done a good job as vice chair. I've worked with her in other contexts. She's always knowledgeable and prepared, and she has a very non-confrontational way of engaging with other members of the community, even when their views differ. So You know, no candidate is perfect, but I have no hesitancy personally to backing her as the NCPH candidate.
Susan?
And I would absolutely agree. I think she does a good job of reaching out to the other side of the non-contracted party house. And so, yes. And she's also paid her dues. She's been vice chair for 2 years.
Thank you, Susan and Phil. If there's no objection from BC members, we'd want to empower our counselors and Barbara, who's our liaison to the CSG. We want to empower them to endorse Heather unless there are any objections from the BC members. And I'm about to turn to Barbara on CSG, but I did want to remind all of you that when we were discussing how to replace Marcus Coomer, Heather's name came up, and there was an extensive discussion at a BC meeting and a CSG meeting in Copenhagen. And it didn't look like it was going to happen at that time. And instead, the BC and CSG deferred to allow Matthew Shears to replace Marcus Coomer. And Matthew Shears was a non-contracted party house, non-commercial stakeholders group person. At that time, there was an expectation, a hope, that the CSG would get some deference for our candidate on chair of the GNSO. So that situation, that has come home to roost now. And so I believe, at least, there was an expectation that the non-commercial stakeholders group would endorse our candidate, given that we endorsed their candidate for the ICANN board. Barbara?
Thanks, Steve. I was just going to say on this issue of Heather's candidacy, we have a CSG XCOM call scheduled for next week. So I'm happy to convey the BC support for Heather in those discussions. That's what I'm getting from our discussion today, correct?
Yes, Barbara, that's exactly what you should convey.
All right, thank you.
And Barbara, let me ask you and anyone else who was present at the Copenhagen meeting, how much of an expectation should we have that the NCSG would support the CSG candidate because we supported their candidate for the board? Anybody want to comment on that? I could be just misremembering the discussions when Zahid came in and we had Heather speak to the entire CSG.
Steve, Phil here. I don't remember the exact conversation, but I don't recall any ironclad commitment on the NCSG's part to do that. And the other factor here is that one former counselor for the NCSG has left since then, Ed Morris, and they have a number of other new people coming on board who will be the actual people voting on this nomination in Abu Dhabi. So there'll be a number of new players who weren't involved in those Copenhagen discussions.
Good point, Phil, and I've never heard people use the terms ironclad commitment and NCSG in the same sentence before. So you're right. You're right. This is going to be difficult, but I would encourage you in those meetings, Barbara, Susan, and Phil, to try to reiterate the point that we supported the NCSG candidate for the board at a time when Heather was interested, took a step back, and this is her opportunity and their opportunity to be team players. Barbara, your hand is still up.
Yeah, I'm sorry, and I will lower it. But I think in that spirit, the NCSG did agree to a process for the selection of the vice chair, which, just bottom lining it, respects this desire to rotate that vice chair position between the two sides of the House. So that I think we could certainly say that in the spirit of that agreement that we worked out to select the vice chair, you know, we sincerely hope that they sort of respect that process in terms of Heather's candidacy. Just a thought.
Yeah, good thought, Barbara. And when you have that XCOM call with your CSG, let us know how we can be helpful on that. But you definitely have an endorsement of Heather coming out of this call.
Great. Okay.
Okay. Barbara, keep the microphone because you're up next on Channel 3 in the policy calendar. Barbara, I have pasted into the policy calendar the update in red text. It's the updated text. Everyone's looking at it now in red. It's the text you sent around yesterday, and all five of your attachments were sent with the policy calendar, so feel free to reference any of those.
Great. I think you folks, you know, as Steve said, you've got all those attachments. I included just a calendar of those CSG group meetings, so you have a sense for how we're scheduled. I think just in a nutshell, the 31st of October, which is Tuesday, will be just be a very, very an intensely busy day for all of us. We'll start the day at 9 o'clock with our BC closed meeting, and then basically it's sort of pedal to the metal with CSG and BC open meetings the whole rest of the day. But I'd really like to move to these questions because some of them are quite time sensitive. My question for discussion, as you'll note, the CSG, it's on Saturday. It's in a god-awful hour, 8:30 to 9, but it was the only time that could be slotted for the CSG to sit down with Becky Marcus, and I don't know if Matthew will be present. I recognize and respect the point that Marilyn made about him not being formally seated until later in the week, but in any event, it'll be at least with Becky and Marcus and how we want to use those 30 minutes. Marilyn volunteered to draft sort of a thank you to Marcus, expressing our appreciation for his service on the board. If people are agreeable, I can formally get back in touch with Marilyn via email, so we have a formal email record of the BC's request to her for a first draft, extending our thanks to Marcus. How do people feel about that?
No objection.
Okay. Any other ideas about how we want to use that precious 30 minutes? I will take that to the CSG XCOM call next week, aside from us extending our thanks to Marcus. Okay. We'll see what
Barbara.
Yeah.
Barbara, it's Steve. I would try to do a high-level discussion on the inevitable momentum towards the next round, opening the next round of GTLDs versus the necessity to complete the reviews and policy development to support that. Let's try to just understand the balance of powers and pressures that are at work there. I think that would be a worthy discussion point to consider. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And then the next item, question that I'm grateful for your feedback on, and this is a very, very time-sensitive deadline, is we have 30 minutes with the ICANN board as part of the CSG's allotment with them on the 31st of October between 1:30 and 3. What issue? And I learned this morning on an SOAC planning call for ICANN 60 that the board wants two questions from us that they can prepare to address. So my question to the BC is, what issues or questions do you want us to focus on in that 30 minutes with the board? What do you want our asks to be? What would you consider to be a successful conversation with that board? Happy to consider people's ideas now if possible. Because I have to send this in.
Be sure and send it. Got it. Be sure and send an email then right after today's call with requesting feedback on questions, and I'm sure Denise, whose hand is up, might even have one right now. Go ahead, Denise.
Okay.
Sure. I think I would suggest that we discuss GDPR and sort of work out among ourselves which points we want to emphasize. In addition to that and related to that, I would suggest that our second topic be the pattern in practice of staff, I guess we could call it non-response or a lack of coordination and follow-through on various issues. I think for that we can probably take the last several BC submissions to public comments and or look to Gorin and talk about in a positive way how we would like greater staff communication, responsiveness, and coordination on not only GDPR but a number of other issues. And then while I've got the mic, I'll just jump back to the other topics that you raised. An idea I'd like to throw out there is for the CSG, instead of meeting with Becky, Marcus, and Matthew, to use that time to meet with incoming new board members, introduce them to the CSG constituencies, what we're about, what our key issues are. That would be in addition to Matthew, would be Aubrey, Sarah, and Leon Sanchez. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you, Denise. I will have to work with Andrea in terms of scheduling that. I think this is on Becky and Marcus's calendar. So I guess what I'm saying is, do we want to scrap this? Would the BC, because the CSG may not agree to this. They may want to keep this, even though it's only 30 minutes, this meeting with Becky and Marky and Marcus. So that would you like me then to pursue, to see if there's another opportunity for 30, 45 minutes with Aubrey, Sarah, Leon, and Matthew later in the week?
Just to reply, no, I was suggesting that instead of meeting with Becky and Marcus, that we instead meet with the incoming board members. I'm suggesting that that's a better use of our time.
Okay, I'll raise that at the CSG meeting and see what the reaction is, and then we'll proceed from there. If the other two constituencies agree, then we'll have Andrea work with us. Andrea and Chantel, if she's still available, work with us in terms of politely declining. Although, having said that, I know Marilyn was quite keen to use that 30 minutes to thank Marcus. So.
If we thank Marcus, that's not a 30-minute thank you. I hope that's a 3-minute thank you, to be honest.
Okay.
Let's not get
All right.
carried away.
All
we
right.
didn't even
okay.
We didn't even reelect him. And then Denise brought up this point about staff non-response or non-solicitation of bottom-up. Let's please add to that the two points Phil and I emphasized from the Dot Museum is the GDD staff in particular is being inconsistent and unilateral when it negotiates registry agreement renewals. And in particular, the Dot Museum examples of the designation of a community TLD and the imposition of RDS RPMs. And that could be all part of the same theme. Anyone else in the queue?
Okay. Steve, so that would be part of the theme of how to increase staff contact and responsiveness, or I see that
I
as
think
a
so,
third
Barbara.
Question.
Yeah. Okay, perhaps. Okay. Yeah, try maybe as a third. Yeah, maybe as a third because it's focused exclusively on GDD staff.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe so. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, and this gets to a topic that we just discussed. For our BC meeting, I just want to get clarity from the BC. We have a slot open. Do we want to invite Brian Schilling or Jamie as a follow-up to this webinar that I talked about on Monday and on consumer safeguards and contractual compliance, and we can press him for further detail on how gaps are addressed and how this research that will inform policymaking is of value to us. Do we want a meeting with Brian Schilling, or do we want another meeting with David Conrad on the Open Data Initiative? I don't think we have a time for both.
I would vote for Brian.
Okay.
And Margie Milam has her hand up. Go ahead, Margie.
Yeah, this is Margie. The other thing that we might want to do is perhaps invite Cyrus and Yoren to talk to them about hearing the relationship that they have with the non-contracted parties. And one of the concerns I have is that there's this whatever special relationship that Akram and Cyrus and the executives over at ICANN have with the contracted parties. Yet we don't get the same attention or even, discussions or avenues of follow-up. We're always the afterthought, if you will, the business side, the commercial side. And so I think, Akram, Cyrus, really, the execs on the GDD side and obviously Goran, who can provide overall direction, and raising that issue and putting them on the spot, I think, would be helpful from the business perspective.
Okay, just as, to let you know, I'm sort of jumping ahead here, but Jorn will be has been invited to participate in our open CSG meeting on the 31st, at which point we could raise this with him, but I can also explore having Akram and or Cyrus address our BC open meeting to allow further discussion of this topic. How's that sound?
Yeah, I think that actually would be very helpful.
Okay, great. And so, okay, so that we'll see if I can get appointments with Akram and Cyrus as well as with Brian Schilling, correct, guys? Okay, so... all right. Okay. I will draft. You know what I'll do in terms of these questions to the board? I will draft what I've scribbled here, run it by the BC private, and you all can revise it, amend it accordingly before I send it over to the board folks tomorrow. So this is a real fast turnaround. Quickly, the intersessional update, we can rip through this very quickly. It has been confirmed for the 1st and 2nd of February in L.A. It will likely be held at the DoubleTree Hotel. It looks like we will be having meetings with the board and senior ICANN staff on the 1st of February. There will be a reception, a cocktail reception on the 1st that will enable participation by the board. And the reason for that is the board has also scheduled special meetings around that time. So every effort will be made to get those all those high-level meetings with the non-contracted party house arranged on the 1st of February. In terms of agenda topics, and there was a lot of discussion about this yesterday, and I know Andrew and Steve were both on this call, so I welcome you to jump in. But I'm just going to read through the topics that are under discussion that ICANN staff is going to focus more time on fleshing out. First, an assessment of subsequent new GTLDs, and then non-contracted party house budget working group. This was a proposal of Jimson. Do we want to take that forward? We'll discuss that. Again, this issue of reconciling who is in the GDPR and looking at the extent to which who has complies with the GDPR, the GACS relationship overall and upcoming events in Panama, coordination of outreach and recruiting best practices. I believe Steve suggested this. Sixth would be, again, we talked about this in February, shaping the 2019 GNSO organizational review. And finally, and Steve raised this topic earlier, this whole issue of the selection of board seat 14, the process, and if we can, I think, hopefully get to something that's a little more formal rather than this gentleman's agreement that the NCSG is less enthusiastic about following through on. So it looks like those are the topics that were thrown out to be considered for discussion in February. There was also some discussion on the chat about intersessional follow-through, that we have these intersessional meetings and we seem to end with this feel-good feeling, but then there's, you know, sort of further action in terms of implementation sort of falls short after we all leave. So that's kind of where things stand on intersessional planning. Happy to take any questions.
Barbara, this is Andrew. Thank you very much. I know that we're a little bit pressed for time with a very, very busy, calendar. If no one has any other comments, I know Jimson is not here on the call, so I think we're going to wait on our finance and operations report. Jimson, are you here? No, I didn't believe he was. Okay. Really quickly, two things, if I might. The first of all is that I will be, and there may be others who are on the call this afternoon, listening for Workstream 2 about human rights. We know that this is an important issue. There's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing about it and a little bit of controversy, some different differences of opinion, trying to work out something that will work for all. And so we'll keep you apprised of that.
The second thing is that we had a very good remote meeting that I attended remotely that Nivaldo and Mark arranged with ICANN in Rio de Janeiro earlier this week, reaching out to new potential business members alongside ICANN. And I wanted to compliment Mark and Nivaldo for the work that they did. And we have the potential of another one. Brazil is a very big and important market for us where we do not have a lot of representation, and we know that we've got a lot going forward in Latin America. So, Mark, if you wanted to spend a minute, because unfortunately we don't have very much time, but if you wanted to spend a quick minute talking that would be about that would be great. Mark, I'm sorry. The line is not very good. So let me just say to everyone who is here. I know we're trying to get off the line. That it was a very interesting event. There were a lot of people from different parts of the Brazilian tech sector who we believe to be potential BC members. We did this in conjunction with ICANN, and we managed to leverage ICANN financing. So the sum total of the cost was zero to the BC. And we hope that this is something that we will be able to continue to do in future in collaboration, especially with the ICANN Latin America leadership. And that's all I have on those two points. Does anyone have a quick item that they'd like to throw in for any additional business? Okay. I'm not seeing anyone, so let's all agree we'll be back in touch with you about some of these outstanding issues and take it to the list. Thank you to Nivaldo and to Mark and to other members of the Outreach Committee for their hard work on getting our word out, and we'll speak with you all soon.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has adjourned. Angelica, if you can please stop all the recordings. To everyone else, please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.